When I get older, losing my hair many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine birthday greeting bottle of wine? Do you know what the song was? When I'm 64, do you know how many years ago it was written? 50 years. Well done, Jim. Music trivia, that's very good. 50 years ago. Tonight we are talking about aging, and again, all of the topics that we're trying to address this week, they're topics that I think are that a number of people can relate to. And some of these topics, there's aspects that we chuckle at and laugh at and sing about, and yet there is other aspects related to all of these subjects that are very difficult and cause many people in our community to hurt and to struggle. And one of the things we heard last night that I thought was very, very helpful in relation to mental health, but indeed in relation to all these topics, it's good for us to be talking and listening to one another. And tonight, there are some of you that are maybe feeling the difficulty of aging yourself, and there are others maybe here tonight who are watching people they love experiencing the difficulty of aging and are trying to process that. And there's others that are maybe even facing hard decisions that they have to make. And in all that is taking place tonight, and indeed on the other nights as well, we want you to know we don't think lightly of any of these topics. And indeed, the whole reason we have put together this little program is because we know they really do affect people. And as a church, we want to communicate to the community and to one another, even within the fellowship, that we need each other for support. We need to be a help to one another, and we certainly need to be listening to one another. And I hope tonight will prove helpful. I'm really thankful to have Alan with us tonight. And Alan has, I was going to say experience firsthand, but that is maybe the wrong thing to say. His family, I should say, have known what it is to be concerned with family members who are aging, and he's been in a pastoral ministry a long time and drawn alongside many people as they face various struggles in life and have to make very hard decisions in life too. And so I'm really glad that Alan's agreed to be able to come and to share with us tonight and to try and help us think through this topic a little bit more. So I'll ask Alan to come forward now.
Right away, you'll notice the difference between tonight and last night. Charles had his notes and I've got mine. Whereas the young fella last night was able to remember it all. Two men in a retirement center, retirement home, were talking. Dave said, "I'm 85 years old and I feel like I'm falling apart. How do you feel, George?" George said, "Even though I'm almost 100, I feel like a newborn babe." "How in the world can you feel like a newborn babe at your age?" "Well, I don't have any teeth. I don't have any hair. I can't sleep through the night and I need somebody to look after me." When it comes to looking at a topic like this, I'm very pleased that Charles dealt a lot with the positives, if you like. We're going to look at some of the positives as well, but you begin in looking at this topic when it comes to dealing with aging. I think, first of all, it's something that affects all of us. Some of the subjects that we're dealing with this week won't necessarily affect us as individuals. This is one that affects all of us. From the moment we're born, we begin to age. Secondly, it's something that no one can avoid. Many have tried, many still try to avoid it, but you can't avoid it. And thirdly, it's something that affects every element of our being. I even reminded us last night that we are physical, mental, and spiritual, and all of those are they're dependent upon each other. And the same is true when it comes to aging. I want to really, I suppose, kind of bookend our thoughts on this challenging issue with the comments of two men that I've encountered during my pastoral ministry, Jack and Jimmy. Both really sum up two of the most important lessons when it comes to aging. In a way, I suppose my first encounter with the impact of aging was as a young pastor in my first church visiting Jack. Jack was 90-odd years of age. He was coming to the end of his earthly journey. And as I was visiting with him and seeking to minister to him, I remember saying to him, 90-odd years of age, that's a long time. And a young fellow, that seemed really a lifetime away. And I've never forgotten what he said to me. He said, son, it's gone like that. It's gone like that. And I suppose I was in my mid-30s then, you think, yeah, sort of gone like that. Terry Pratchett said, inside every old person is a young person wondering what has happened. And I think that's true. If we're all honest, sort of mentally we kind of stop somewhere about 35, 40. In here it's still the same. You wonder who this old guy is looking out at the MRF. But we sort of stop there. But what Jack said is a vitally important lesson about aging. We all think that aging is somewhere down the road. Maybe some of us think it's a long way down the road. The reality is, it's just round the next corner. It really is. As with last evening, again, the important thing with aging is to remember that we're what we call tripartite. We're physical, mental, and spiritual. And aging impacts right across all three of those. And so what we want to do is to really to look at aging in each of these three spheres. And we could group the impact of aging into sort of three categories. Limitations, loss, and loneliness. Limitations, loss, and loneliness. The most noticeable impact of aging is the limitations that it brings. Your head says, chase the ball. Your body says, I don't think so. A large part of aging is our bodies beginning to slow down. Charles has already mentioned it. The stamina of youth gradually drains away. The body begins to wear. And because we're living longer, some of the parts are wearing out. And so we have new knees, new hips, new teeth. We have spectacles, hearing aids, pacemakers, and so on. Let me read you some verses from the wise man in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the street. And he talks there about the decay. He talks about when the keepers of the house tremble, when the mind begins to go. He talks about when the strong man is bent, when the body begins to fail, when the grinders, guess what the grinders are? Your teeth, when they're not working as well as they should because they are few. He talks about the sound of the grinding is low. The hearing starts to go. And he talks about the eyesight and so on. He talks about the appetites. The desires begin to go. These limitations are the result of aging. And these limitations affect us in other ways. There is a loss involved. There's a loss of faculties. There's a loss of mobility. There's a loss of appetites that we once had, not just our physical appetite, but all different kinds of appetites. There's a loss of abilities. There's a loss of contemporaries. Again, I think of an elderly gentleman that I pastored, again, my first church, and he was quite an age, well in his 90s. And again, just chatting to him, when you're young, somebody in their 90s, sort of, that's a long way away, and you're interested in what it's like to be that age. And I remember him saying to me, it's very lonely. It's very lonely because all of my contemporaries have all died. I'm the only one left. And so there's that loneliness, there's that loss of contemporaries. There's a loss of independence very often. And all of that, of course, can lead to an overwhelming sense of loneliness. The family have moved on. Friends, as we've said, have passed on. Getting out and about sometimes is not on. And the individual becomes increasingly isolated with all the further difficulties that that brings. Mentally, as with physically, aging brings limitations. We find the whole idea of change very difficult to deal with. We're more comfortable with what we know, with the status quo. We find it more difficult to learn new things, to adapt to new ideas and new ways. And there's a loss. The memory's not what it used to be. You bend down and you forget what you're down there for. And then you ask yourself, when I'm down here, is there anything else I can do? The mind is no longer as sharp as it once was. The ability to reason is not as clear as it used to be. There's a loss of self-esteem. We were reminded of this again last evening because we're defined so often by what we do, not who we are. And with that aging process, again, as Charles says, comes retirement and so on, and how are we identified? We're valued by what we can contribute. And people think we can't contribute anything anymore. And so there's that loss of self-esteem. Who are we? And all of that, of course, again, leads to this sense of loneliness. Life seems to have moved on and left us behind. No one's interested, really, and really no one particularly cares. And you think to yourself, just when I've reached the place of maximum knowledge and experience, I get cast on the scrap heap. Has to be something wrong there somewhere. I'd like to say a wee bit more about the mental and the physical loss. Especially when it comes to the whole area of dementia. One of the great challenges of aging in our day is the issue of dementia. where there is that loss of memory which leads eventually to life-limiting physical problems. It robs the person of dignity, of personality, of reality, of memory. And it's been described a bit like taking the pages of a diary and tearing out the page today and then going back to yesterday and the day before, and you're just gradually tearing out the pages of memory and going back further and further and further and further until the person doesn't know who they are, they don't know where they are, they don't know what they are. It's a frightening experience for the individual, but it's also one of the most difficult experiences for those who are their nearest and dearest. To watch someone gradually disappear before your eyes, to realize that you have lost them, in a sense, a long time before they're gone physically, it's very difficult. And so often, this is one of the areas where people, where families struggle with the issues of aging. Can I pass on some helpful advice? How do you deal with this challenge when it comes to caring for someone in this situation? When memory starts to go, how do you deal with that? One of the first things that we tend to do is when someone says something and we know it's totally wrong, we try to put them right. We say, no, that's not how it is. This is how it is. And you end up arguing with them and they end up terribly distressed. What we have to remember is that for the individual, what they have said is reality for them. Doesn't matter how totally crazy it might sound to you, that's reality for them. And no matter how you try to reason otherwise, they're never going to see it. And all you end up doing is causing them again more and more distress. The happier and the calmer, the more content that you can be around them, you discover that the same is true from them. They feed off that. It's much, what's the word I'm looking for, much more caring just to agree with them at the end of the day, because 5 minutes later, they have forgotten what they said anyway. With the loss of memory, very often comes a change in personality. Some may become aggressive, abusive, both in behavior and language, even to the point of believers using language that you've never heard them use before. I could think of some friends who were in that situation. Their mother was struggling with dementia, and when they would go and visit, her language was horrendous. She'd never used language they got in her life. Believer. Can you imagine the struggle that that is? How distressing that can be. I think the important thing is to remember that this is a mental illness. It's a changed personality. When they're being aggressive, don't take it personally. When perhaps the whole attitude, the language and so on is so far removed from what you're used to, the temptation really is to wonder, are they saved at all? Don't panic. Remember that the God that they've placed their faith in all of those years is with them in their darkest hour. Underneath, round about, are those everlasting arms of their God. The other great challenge that we're faced with when this kind of illness strikes, and also very often whenever the illness is simply a physical one where people have deteriorated physically to such a large extent, is when it comes to that inevitable point where we can no longer properly provide for them the care that is needed. When it becomes actually dangerous to carry on looking after the person. And the huge problem for all of us in that situation, again, is the feeling of guilt. The feeling of guilt. People are wrecked with the feeling of guilt. Really, whenever you think about it, we should not allow guilt to damage the time that is left that we have with our loved ones. It is not a dereliction of duty. It's not a selfish thing. It's not a cruel thing to ensure that those that we love are given the best possible care that is available for them. In fact, if you think about it, it's a dereliction of duty, it's a selfish thing, it's a cruel thing not to do that. But the big problem so often is the problem of guilt. Spiritually, again, as with the physical, with the mental, spiritually, aging brings limitations. The advance in years can take a toll. Again, we've seen that it can bring that loss of independence. Fellowship at the church then becomes limited. A person perhaps can't get out to have fellowship with God's people any longer. Perhaps can't engage in the ministry, the service for God that they've spent most of their lives engaging in. Can't remember the Word of God the way they once did. For some, can no longer read the Word of God because of failing eyesight. And all of that, again, leads to loss. There can be a dulling of spiritual things, a loss of appetite for the Word of God, a loss of fervor for the Lord. As a result of the many challenges that they've faced through life, that they've already experienced, there can be a loss of dependence on God. Loss of spiritual joy. For so many, the aging process brings cynicism, brings bitterness. George Burns said, I was brought up to respect my elders, so now I don't have to respect anybody. Very often, that's the attitude of older people. They think they can say anything that they like to people. Our principal at Bible College used to say that he prayed every day this same prayer, Lord, don't let me die a cynical old man. That's a big danger. And of course, those losses can lead to terrible loneliness, a feeling of being forgotten by God's people, even of being forgotten by God Himself. And all of that, I suppose, can seem very negative. You probably think it is very negative. It's more reality. But there are other aspects of the aging process that could be seen, if you like, as more positive, and yet they're reality as well. One commentator says, the fear of becoming old, I thought this was very interesting, the fear of becoming old is born of the recognition that one is not living now the life that one wishes. It is the equivalent to a sense of abusing the present. I think what they're trying to say is sometimes we spend so much time worrying and concerned about growing old that we forget to enjoy life here and now. See, one of the benefits of aging is the wisdom that is gained along the way. Job 12 and 12 says, wisdom is with the aged and understanding in the length of days. See, youth brings the accumulation of knowledge. But with age comes wisdom, the ability to best know how to use that knowledge. A greater understanding of life and its challenges. With the advance in years, there comes the opportunity of time. Time to study more. Time to learn more, whether that's in a secular sense or in a spiritual sense. There's that time, as Charles said earlier, the opportunity to go and do things that we couldn't do before. And very often, because of the advance in time, the experience that we've learned on the way through, we're better able to understand the importance of these things. Of course, there's also the ability to pass on, to share the benefits of all the experience that we've gained. Wonderful opportunity to encourage others as one who has a wealth of experience. Alison mentioned last night that the last thing that you want to hear is someone saying, how do you feel? Or I know how you feel. That's the worst possible thing you can say, as we've already heard. Yet, having said that, the psalmist in Psalm 37 says, I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. Okay, we may not know how someone else feels, but with aging comes that experience of God's help, God's blessing, the way in which God has worked in our lives down through the years. Again, Charles referred to that in his experience. And if you're struggling with something, who will you go to seek help, to seek encouragement? Someone who has never had those experiences, or someone who has had those experiences and has known God's help and enabling them to come through those experiences? It's the latter. I have been young, now I am old. What is my experience of God? I found God to be faithful. Aging, I suppose in some ways, limits openings for service. But at the same time, it opens up lots of other opportunities. There's more time to devote to the care of others. More time to spend with God in prayer and his word. To support the work of the gospel. Some of the ways that we can help overcome the challenges of aging are really quite easy to apply when you think about it. Care for your body. What you put into it. And how you exercise it. Care for your mind. Again, what you put into it and how you exercise it. Seek companionship. Loneliness is one of the biggest problems within society today. Seek that companionship. Seek openings to be a source of comfort and encouragement to others. Reflect on the goodness of God and his past care and in his present grace. And bring it to the point in your life. Again, Charles reminded us of the fact that God in his grace has allowed them to grow together. pursue a godly attitude to life. Again, I remember Mary. Mary was an elderly lady when I was, in my first pastorate. And she had a lot of health issues. She was quite small. Part of the reason for that was that she was quite literally bent at 90 degrees. She was the most amazing woman that I have ever come across. She said to me on one occasion, she said, if a leg fell off, she said, I wouldn't worry because I've got another one. And that was the mindset that she had. Very positive. Her prayer all her life was that the Lord would not allow her to lose her mind before he took her home. And I mentioned before, I remember going to visit her in the home and hearing her talking from away down the corridor and wondering, had she lost her mind? And then walking in through the door to discover she was just sitting in the chair in the corner talking away to the Lord. An amazing woman, had a very positive, godly attitude to life. Read this comment today, I thought it was very, very challenging. Someone said, don't regret old age. Don't regret old age. It's a privilege denied to many. Don't regret old age. It's a privilege denied to many. The great evangelist George Whitefield was meeting a number of friends on one occasion, and he said he was weary of the burdens, and he was glad that soon the work would be over and he would depart to be with Christ. And of course, all the rest of the guys, or most of them, all agreed with him, except for one man, a man called Tennant. And Whitefield turned to Tennant and he said, "Brother Tennant, you're the oldest among us. Do you not rejoice to think that your time is near at hand, when you'll be called home?" This is what Tennant said. "I have nothing to do with death. My business is to live as long as I can and as well as I can and serve my Savior as faithfully as I can until he thinks it's time to call me home." Whitefield accepted Tennant's comment as a gentle rebuke from the Lord, and it enabled him to carry on with his work calmly and patiently. By far the most important thing when it comes to dealing with aging and thinking about aging, thinking about the journey of life, is our traveling companion. Our traveling companion. It is a very lonely, hazardous journey to make on our own. Again, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Seeking the Lord Jesus Christ in early in life means that having a traveling companion with you through that life, who has a definite plan for you, who is able to provide everything that you need through that journey, who will never forsake you, one who knows everything that is ahead of you, one who is in complete control of everything, one whose final destination for us is a life that never ends, filled with indescribable joy. Robert Browning said, "Grow old along with me, the best is yet to be." And that's true. Think of the words of Spafford's hymn, "The sky, not the grave, is our goal." Who have you been traveling with? Who are you intending, perhaps, to travel with? A lot of people have been traveling alone. A lot of people intend to look for the Lord Jesus Christ as our traveling companion a little further down the journey. Why would you want to travel such a perilous journey without him? How do you know you're going to want this company further down the road? Let me take you back to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 90. Psalmist says, "For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." So teach us to number our days, that we might get a heart of wisdom. Remember Jack? 90 years are gone like that. The psalmist says, teach us to number our days. Not our years, but our days. Because it flies past so quickly. What is a heart of wisdom? The Bible says that knowing God is the beginning of wisdom. In our context of aging, it means having the Lord Jesus Christ as our traveling companion, committing our lives to Him for His forgiveness, for the new life that He brings. It's all about doing now, not leaving it to later. You're aging as we speak. You've aged since I get up here. Maybe you're thinking, should have sat down early and I'd be a bit younger. But God has been gracious to you in giving you all these years, in preserving you, and providing you with a multitude of opportunities to make that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Who knows how much of the journey's left for any of us? We began with Jack. Remember Jimmy? I said they sum up two of the most important lessons regarding aging. One, we've seen how fast it all takes place. The other is how deceptive it is. Jimmy, like Jack, was in the final days of a long life here on earth. He had a terminal illness. In his youth, while in the army in India, he had a relationship, I think. In fact, he was actually engaged to a lady who was a brethren missionary. The relationship didn't last, and he came home, and eventually he married and had a number of children. He lived his life for himself and his pleasures. And I was asked to visit him in hospital and to share the gospel with him by his son, who wasn't a believer himself. He clearly knew all about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the offer of salvation. Maybe he thought back in his youth that, well, that's something I know I need to do that, but I'll get it sorted out further down the line. As I shared the word of God with him, he became very angry, very aggressive about my, as he described it, coming here to preach to him. He had no time for the Savior. He had no time for salvation. Even at the end of the journey, the next day he lost consciousness. The day after, he passed from the scene in time, the journey complete. But to what destination? If he died as he lived without the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, as his traveling companion, his journey did not end in heaven with Christ. One writer says, one day you will wake up and there won't be any more time to do the things you've always wanted to do. Do them now. One day you'll wake up and there won't be any more time to do the things you've always wanted to do. Do it now. Aging. We all face it. None of us can avoid it. It's all about how we manage it. And that's all about who we have as our traveling companion. And there is none better than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks very much, Alan, for sharing with us. There's a lot of help in that particular talk, a lot of practical advice, a lot of various topics that were being touched on, and I think very helpfully, just really at the end there, what is most important? As a church, we do believe with all earnestness that there is a good shepherd who cares and who loves and who walks with his own. And our greatest desire, and we're not ashamed of this as a church. We're overt. Our greatest desire for our community around us is that they would come and know this good shepherd as well. We care about our community, and the greatest thing that they need is to know Jesus, and that's our greatest hope. And if you're here tonight and you don't know him, please feel free to speak to myself, to speak to Alan, to talk to anyone. We'd be only too glad to talk a little bit more to you about him in particular. But as well as that, if there are anything in the talks or the interviews that have resonated with you and you want to talk a little bit more, we're in this room. There's a lot of people who are here because they're interested in the topic, that they're being affected by the topic, either personally or in their families. And we, as a church, are wanting to try and be a help to the community. So please let us know if there's anything that we can do. If there's if you just need somebody to be listening, if you simply want to know there are people praying for you, let us know. And each morning this week we've been meeting for prayer. Every Friday morning we have a group in the church that meet to pray for needs that are passed on to them. And if there's anything in particular that you would love to know that there are people praying about, please let us know that also. I'm going to close in prayer, and then there will be tea and coffee. Nobody needs to disappear. If you want to slip out, please feel free to do that also. But you don't feel you have to rush away either. I want to give time for people to be able to talk and to get to know one another. And especially if you've come because you've been affected by some of these issues, I want you to be able to feel at ease and able to talk to those around you who are wanting to listen. So let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll have the tea and coffee and just leave the rest of the evening open. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time, and we thank you that you are the God who knows all things about us. You know what is happening in our mind. You know exactly what is happening with our bodies. You know indeed, Lord, how our families behind closed doors are affected by this issue of aging. And we thank you that you are the one who is in control ultimately. And we do thank you that there is no greater companion than Jesus Christ. And we do pray for everybody here that you would help us to talk and help us to find the practical help that we need to be able to even be an encouragement to each other. And also, Lord, we do pray that you would allow the people in this room to come and know the Good Shepherd who is able to walk with them and to lead them through this life. We do thank you for the time we've had. We thank you for the tea and coffee that we have as well. And we ask that you would take us all home safely. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.